So we thank you for joining with us here at the Queen's Ministry, being a part of our Sunday morning Bible Breakfast Fellowship. We thank you for taking the moment, taking the time to be a part of this great learning environment. We thank God for making it available. And we're thanking God for our pastor, Bishop Andy C. Luter, who has opened the door. Yes, opened the door for us to be able to do that. So thank you for joining us. And we pray that this lesson, whether you're hearing it now or at a later date, may be a blessing to you. We are studying in our lesson today on a series lesson on the Apostle Paul. Last week, we talked about who Paul was and what he meant to the body of Christ and the great work that he did. We got an understanding that Paul was called to do this work. We later on find that Paul started out persecuting the church, but thanks be to God, God turned him around and used him in a mighty way to be a promoter of the church. So he went from persecuting the church to promoting the church. And not only promoting, but being used vitally and sacrificially even to help raise the church up to where it is and even further than where it started when Jesus left it in the hands of the disciples. And as I said, Paul was called to do this. How? Well, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit appointed him and Barnabas to begin a work for the Gentiles. And that's found in Acts 13, 2 and 3. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So we see that the Holy Spirit had a desire to use Paul, moving from him, his time of persecuting, being studying under the hands of Ananias, and then moving to a place where the Holy Spirit is saying, now you're ready to go forward. And even Paul says, he declares in Colossians 1 and 25, I became a servant of the church because God gave me a special work to do. This work helps you, he says. My work is to tell the complete message of God. And then he goes on and says in the 29th verse, he said, this is my work, and I can do it only because of Christ's mighty energy at work within me. And then finally we see in Romans 15 and 20, he declares, it has always been my ambition, my goal, my desire to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Amen. So we see Paul had a desire. Not only was he called to do the work, not only did he accept the work, agree to do the work, and to do the work and the special work, which was to go outside of the Jewish community to the Gentiles, to he understood his work, that was to share the gospel, the complete message of God. He understood that he was only doing it by the aid of the Holy Spirit. He says that the energy that he has, the passion that he has, the strength that he has comes by the power of God. He understood that. And then he also had desire and ambition. He had goals. He had plans aligned with, get this, aligned with God's purpose for his life, that he would go out and build up the church. He was even desiring to go where no one else had gone, so that he could be a blessing and share the word of God. So we talked about Paul, and we talked about some of the things we can learn from the life of Paul. Amen. And I'm not going to repeat those items. And again, if you would like to find out what we were talking about as far as the point, the things that we can get from Paul, I invite you to pick up our taping from last week. But we're going to keep on going forward and talk about the impact. That's right, the impact Paul had on the life of the church. Paul wrote some 13 letters to different churches, even to those that were identified as pastors or other individuals, in order to get this, to guide, to encourage, and to correct them. Most of these letters, or the word epistles means letters, most of these letters or epistles served a specific purpose or addressed a specific question or problem. Paul also indicated in some of the letters that he wrote that these letters be circulated amongst the different churches. Here we find that being done in 1 Thessalonians 5:27, where he says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. So he desired not only what he was saying to one church, that it would be uniformity in the body. And so he said, pass that on. Once you've read it, once you've got an understanding, moving on to the next church so that we're all saying the same thing, so that we're all doing the same thing, so that we all are gaining an understanding in the same way. Praise God. And so he said, listen, I got a work for you to do. Don't just keep that word to yourself. Amen. But pass it on so that others can get an understanding also. So as we see from Paul's own letters, that he was highly respected in the increasingly scattered Christian communities. That's right. They looked up to Paul. They desired him to be a part of their growth and maturation. And many of these churches were churches that he started, but some were churches that were planted by other disciples or Christians. And yet Paul still took that same love, that same desire to see them grow and to become over these same churches, whether he started them or not, because he viewed them all as his babies that he wanted to bring up in the Lord. I hear the word being said in my head as I'm even saying this, that he said that him we preach. Who's to him? Jesus we preach, warning every man and teaching every man with all diligence, that we may present every man perfect, not perfect in no mistakes, but perfect in maturity in Christ. So that was his desire, to preach Jesus, to teach about Jesus, again, to share the gospel message. And it didn't matter whether he started the church or not, he wanted that message to get across to everybody. So he desired that the letters that he wrote to certain churches, or even we find some of the individuals, were shared with other churches. Amen. In his letters, he frequently would address problems and questions that these churches would oftentimes write to him about. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to view some of the letters. We're not going to go through all 13 of them. That would just take too much time. And so we're going to go step by step in all of them and give a brief overview of each letter, what it had to offer to the individual, what it was offering to the church, what it's offering to us even in this day, which is something I'm so thankful for, that the letters, though they were written over 2,000 years ago, they're still relevant. That's right. If you were in my setting, I would say, look at someone and say, relevant. Yes, the word of God is relevant. Amen. And so those words that were spoken, written some 2,000 years ago, over some 2,000 years ago, are still relevant. They're still meaningful in our lives right now. And so when we hear fret not and don't worry, we can take that to heart, that it's as God is speaking to us right then and there in our lives. Amen. What I want to share with you today, though, I am going to present these letters. Get this, not in the biblical order that you see them in the New Testament. Whew, what did I say? I said, I'm going to present these 13 letters of Paul, not in the biblical format that we see in the New Testament, but in the chronological order that they were written. So you're going to hear the letters in an order that Paul wrote them, and not how they were inserted in a canonized Bible. Wow, that might be a little strange to you, because you're used to reading them in a certain order, following them behind one another. But we're going to flip that a little bit and show you the sequence of when Paul wrote each of these letters. And hopefully that might give you a little bit more insight, not only to the writings of Paul, but also of Paul himself, as you see where he was, what he was doing when he wrote some of these letters. So this is going to be a little different for you, and so I hope that you can stay with me I'm not changing anything. I'm not doing anything anti-biblical. I'm just giving you the order that Paul wrote them instead of the order that we see them in our Bibles. And I thought that would be beneficial because it blessed me. And so I thought it would be good for you to see the world in a little different light. Now, of course, these dates that I'm going to give you are approximate. Some would say differently, and some would say earlier, some would say later the date. Most of the people, historians that talk about the letters of Paul, all say his first letters start around AD 47 through AD 50. So somewhere around that time is when Paul began to write his letters to the different churches. They all don't agree on what's the first letter because of the dating, but the material, the study material that I use began with the book of, or the letter of Galatians. And so that's where we're going to start with today. So if you have your Bibles and you don't have your lesson, you can turn to Galatians and we're going to kind of walk through Galatians on today. And we pray that you be blessed. So the first book we're going to talk about, the first letter of Paul that we're going to talk about is Galatians. Alrighty. And so Galatians was written as early as AD 48 or AD 49. And some even place it as late as AD 54 or 55. It was written from the city of Antioch. Remember, Antioch was where Paul went, where he started ministering with Barnabas, and there, Antioch, was where all the journeys began. From the city of Antioch, they would proceed out to other places, but they all began in the city of Antioch. So he writes to the church of Galatians from Antioch. And the church of Galatia, or the churches in Galatians, was founded on his first journey. You remember, we studied the journeys of Paul, and on that first journey, he went to what? Cities like Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. And from there, he planted churches and he left the word there with others and let the seed begin to grow and to germinate, and so that these churches could sprout and grow. Amen. And not only that, we have to also be mindful that the letters that Paul wrote not only to those churches in the vicinity of Galatia, but also to us today. Remember, church today is benefiting from these same letters that were received by the early church. Why did he write this letter? He wrote to warn against legalism and to defend the belief of justification by faith and not works. What are you saying? Let me repeat that. He wrote the letter to warn against legalism and to defend the belief of justification by faith and not by works. Many in the church was trying to find salvation in the work that we're doing. Or remember, a lot of these churches were built up with the Jewish community who, again, their foundation teaching was under the law. And so they were used to abiding by the principle of doing this and then being rewarded. And so they were trying to apply that under the Christian faith. And Paul had to warn them against that legalism thinking and also bring to mind the belief that you're justified by faith and not by your works. We know we preach that now, we teach that now. It's not the works that you do, because Paul said that any man could boast, but it is your faith in God. So we're justified just as if we didn't have sin, by our faith in the work of Jesus on Calvary's cross, and not anything that we had done. Amen, somebody. So Paul wrote this letter to bring that to the forefront of the believers in this location. He also wrote this letter to get this, to affirm his authority as an apostle. Remember, he was a persecutor of the church, so people were still a little leery of him, wasn't sure where he was coming from, wasn't quite sure of his status or his position. Even some of the apostles in Jerusalem kind of shied away from him. but it was under the care and the mentoring and the fathering of someone like a Barnabas who encouraged Paul, who went out and sought Paul, brought him back into the folds, and worked with him and stayed with him, that Paul was able to be identified as an authentic person in the gospel message. Amen. And Paul also shared with them that his calling didn't come from man, but his calling came from the Lord Jesus, that all that he understood, all that he knew, he gained that from a personal encounter with Jesus, that Jesus taught him what it is that he wanted him to do. So Paul wrote also in his letter to the Galatians to affirm his authority as an apostle, and that he had the same authority, he had the same power, and he should be afforded the same respect as all the other apostles. Though he was not one of the original, he was not one of the original 12, he still had the same authority and the same power as those that walked with Jesus, as he was saying he now has offered. All right. So we see that if we were to break out the letter of Galatians, we could study it in a manner that would be more understandable. And so if we were to outline the letter or the book in chapter form, we could outline it in three categories. And so we would take chapter 1 and 2, and that would deal with Paul's defense of his apostolic authority. Again, he wanted to share with the church that he had the authority to promote Jesus just as much as the other disciples. And if we went to chapters 3 and 4, we could group those two chapters under justification by faith. Again, we're justified not by our works, but by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then if we will go to chapter 5 and 6, we would then under those chapters entitled those Living the Christian Life. Paul was concerned with how the church was living, how the church was presenting itself. Paul was concerned with how the church was appearing to outsiders. And so he was instructing the Galatians in a manner of how they should live. Amen. And he didn't want them to live any old kind of way. He had a desire for them to represent God in a good light. Amen. And that's still desire for us today, to represent God in a good light. Amen. Alrighty. So we would also pick out some key verses. The first one would be a key verse to help identify this book would be Galatians 5 and 1. Let me read it in your hearing. Galatians 5 and 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." What is Paul saying here in that verse? He's saying you are free from the demands of the law. That's going back to that legalism. He had to preach against people feeling that they had to fulfill the law. He was saying you don't have to do that any longer. You are free. And he said, don't try to get back up underneath it. Now that you're free, some of the church members was trying to go back up underneath the law, trying to adhere to the law. And he said, if you can't do it all, if you miss even one, then you're guilty of breaking them all. But you don't have to even worry about that. Christ has come to fulfill the law. And since he has fulfilled the law, he has already met the demands of the law that you don't have to do. All you have to do now is put your faith in Jesus Christ. So Galatians 5 and 1 says, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free. You're free in Christ. Another key verse would be Galatians 5:22-23. And we're very familiar with that. Those two verses, those verses point to the fruit of the Spirit. Remember again, Paul is concerned with how we live, how we are presenting ourselves to the world. And so he says earlier in 19 through 21,
Don't let the works of the flesh be evident. And he goes on, he gives this whole long list of the works of the flesh. Amen. And if you want to take a moment and read, go back and review, go to Galatians 5:19-21, and you'll see a whole list of things. Paul says, don't let those be a part of you. He says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. He says, but this is what I want to see evident in your life. I want to see, starting with 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what I want to see evident in your life, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Amen. So Christ, Paul is saying, this is what I want to see evident in your life, the fruit of the Spirit. And he goes on to list what that fruit should look like. Amen. So those were key verses pertaining to the book of Galatians. And my last thought on this particular book or letter is that the book of Galatians is the charter of Christian freedom. In it, you would find Paul repeatedly telling us that we are free from the demands of the law. In this letter, Paul proclaims the reality of our liberty in Christ. Somebody ought to get excited today and say, thank God for Jesus. If not, if Jesus had not come, not only would we still be in our sins, but we would still be under the law. Now we're under the dispensation of grace. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. So we see in the book or the letter of Galatians that Paul has set for us the proclamation of freedom. He proclaims the reality of our liberty in Christ. Freedom from the law and the power of sin. Freedom, I'm going to say it again. Freedom from the law and the power of sin. And freedom to serve our God. That's right. Paul declares that we can serve our God in a manner that was unrestraining as far as there is no bounding holding us back. That's why he says, don't get caught up in the yoke of bondage any longer. You're free. Stay free in God. And this freedom, Paul is encouraging. Also, he encourages us, but he cautions us to not live that freedom in a manner that will cause disrespect or cause shame in us being connected to Christ. So our freedom comes with responsibility. That's why even in our day and age, we can say that again, our freedom comes with responsibility. And for those of us who are out there saying, I'm free to do this, and I'm free to do that, and no, I don't have to do this, and no, I don't have to do that, your freedom comes with responsibility. And if you are impinging or infringing upon the rights and the freedom of others, how free are you indeed? So Paul cautions us to be careful with our freedom. Amen? You don't go out there and do all kinds of things or manner of things. Glory to God, because you are free from the demands of law. You still are supposed to remember that you are connected to Christ and you are his representative in the earth realm. So salvation, Paul writes in Galatians, is by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. And it is for all people, Jews and Gentiles. Amen. Praise God. So that was a brief overview of the letter of Galatians. Amen. And as I said earlier, Paul, when he wrote these letters, had always in the back of his mind a concern or an issue that he wanted to address. Paul was addressing the problem that may have arisen in the church or the local body that he wanted to try to help squash or put the fire out. So what was the concern or concerns that Paul was addressing here in the book or the letter of Galatia? He was concerned about the new converts. He was concerned with those that had recently been converted to Christianity. He was concerned for them because they were being fed, watch this, information by more senior believers that was not particularly truthful. And it wasn't that they were desiring to mislead the new converts. It's just that they had a mistaken thought process as to what was required of individuals who became Christians. They wanted to put on these individuals the rule of the law. And that's why Paul had to counter with this thought of, don't go back under being held to the demands of the law. They were trying to place the burden on new converts of circumcision and such things as that. But Paul had to remind them that that was not necessary. Listen to what he says. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law. So he was saying that's not what's going to help you keep the law. Even those that are circumcised. Here he says right here, I'm reading in 6 and 13. Even those who are circumcised, not even those who are circumcised keep the law. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. So some were trying to get the new converts to be circumcised so that they could say, see that we're all the same, and that is something that they needed to do because we were. And Paul points out that that's not what, circumcision is not what is going to help us maintain or sustain our salvation. In verse 15, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but it is the new creation in Christ that is what God is looking for. That's what happens when you give your life to Christ. So Paul was concerned about new converts, what they were being fed. We have to be careful, saints, how we are handling our new converts, those that come into the church. Don't try to give them too much, especially don't try to give them so much of what we felt is the way we got saved or what we're doing. Give them the truth. Give them the word. That's what they need. That's what's going to keep them. Give them the word. Amen. And then allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work on them, just like you need the Holy Spirit to work on you. Let the Holy Spirit begin to work on them to bring them to a place of understanding and recognition as to who Jesus Christ is. And once you get a love for Jesus, you want to start obeying him, and you want to start doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. But sometimes we all got to walk, crawl before we can walk, and we can't just put so much on those that are new to cause them to fall away. And that's what Paul was guarding against. Amen. And then one of the other reasons he had a concern here was the non-Jews' adherence to the Mosaic law. Again, going back to those that were not of the Jewish faith coming into Christianity, those that were in the church was trying to put on them the demands of the law. And Paul said, not so. It is not necessary in Christ Jesus. It is not circumcision nor uncircumcision that availeth anything, but the new creation in Christ. Oh, we're so thankful today that we have freedom in Christ Jesus. Freedom from the demands of the law, freedom from the power of sin, and freedom to serve our Lord. We thank God today for you being a part of our lesson. We're going to stop right there. Let you soak all that up, soak all that in, and then we're going to continue with our series. Next week we're going to be in the book of Thessalonians. Gives you a heads up, so if you want to read through Thessalonians, you can. We're going to go into Thessalonians book 1 and 2 on next week in our lesson. And so again, remember, we're not going in biblical order, we're going in chronological order. And so in the study guide that we use, the next books, the next letters that Paul wrote were the books and letters of Thessalonians. So again, thank you so very, very much for being a part of our Bible Breakfast Fellowship on today. I pray that you've been blessed. And again, we're studying a series on the 13,
13 letters of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and we ask that you continue to join with us. And if you're interested in being a part of the certificate program that's associated with this lesson, call our church office for more information so that you can avail yourself of the study material and the study questions to receive your certificate. God bless you all, and continue to pray for one another. May heaven smile upon you is our prayer in Jesus' name.